We continue now with our football coach's profile with Amesbury football coach Colin McQueen. And coach, welcome back. I know it's not football season yet, but how you doing?
I'm doing great, Rick. It's great to hear from you.
Well, I think it's football season all the time for football coaches, and I think this interview may prove that out. What we're trying to do here is get some just some personal information about the coaches that we work with, because we always focus on the kids during the season, and then we have very little time to talk about your experiences and stuff like that. So that's what this is all about. And I want to ask you, Colin, first of all, about your very first connection to football. What's your earliest memory of football? I'll tell you, for me, it was when I was 10 years old. We didn't have any team in New England to follow. My dad was in the Army, so we watched the Washington Redskins on national television. That turned out to be our team. 10 years old is my early experience. Tell me about your first experience with football.
Yeah, I would say, and I only remember this really. It's one of those things where you see a photo. And you have a memory through the photo, because I think I was like in the age before memory starts to kick in. But I think at about age two, there's a photo of me in the paper, you know, walking, holding my dad's hand after a game. I know you know, he was a baseball coach for a long time. That was his primary passion. But when I was really young, or actually before I was born, he coached a little bit of sub varsity basketball and helped out on some football staffs as well. And then as he had my sister, who's older than me, gave up basketball. And then eventually, once I was around two or three, he gave up football so he could have a little bit more time around the house. That's probably, you know, cause he loves baseball so much, probably the reason he never had a third. But, but that was my earliest introduction to it. And then, you know, growing up just around the house, it was on every weekend. Going into the backyard, I used to take, like, that was back in the day before like the regular consumer could get football gloves. You had to be like an NFL guy to have them. So I would take batting gloves and I'd un-Velcro them. I Law was my favorite player. I'd make my dad throw me interceptions in the backyard and I'd pretend like I was taking it back to the house. But, but yeah, you know, so a lot of football at young age, like that, you know.
Oh, that's so cool. How old were you when you were playing Ty Law?
In the single digit years, you know, I was an 89 baby. So, you can figure out through the math when Ty was playing. But those years were my favorite watching the Patriots.
Oh, absolutely. Now your earliest experience playing organized football?
Fifth grade is when we started in Exeter. That was when tackle football first started for us. So, that was first opportunity. Until then, it was, you know, town league soccer, whatever I could play, because we were always active and always involved in stuff. But the youth organization in Exeter there is the Seahawks, and fifth grade was it. That was the first introduction to it. And believe it or not, back in those days, I was a guard and inside linebacker. Back when everyone was pretty much the same size.
Yeah.
And
then
everyone else got bigger, and I had to be a skill guy.
Okay, that works too, you know. All right, so then junior high school and high school. The thing I remember as a freshman in high school was being intimidated by all the upper level kids. You know, the ninth and the 11th and 12th graders in particular, and learning all new stuff in the ninth grade compared to what you play in Little League and Pee Wee and that stuff. So, tell me a little bit about that experience. If you can remember it, Colin, going back to maybe the ninth grade.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do pretty vividly, you know, all the stages. And I remember the guys I played for coming up through youth football from fifth through eighth grade, and I remember what those practices were like and what the field smelled like and mm-hmm. everything. You know, those are some of the best memories. But, you know, I was lucky enough to grow up in a town where football meant a whole lot, and there was a structure in place in the high school that was of what successful programs are built around, and that was older guys holding young guys accountable, but looking out for them. So coming into the high school locker room, the freshman program was a separate program, and Exeter is large. You know, we got mm-hmm. you know, somewhere around 80 kids usually. You know, that's been the norm from sophomore to senior, and then a group of close to 40 in the freshman class. So that's what it was for us, and I was one of those guys that would go to the optional for freshmen second sessions and during double sessions to try to learn from them and pick up what I could pick up. And then on game days, I was one of the guys who was on varsity game days. I was doing the tees or running water out to the field just to be around it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was lucky enough to know a lot of those guys. And now in our adult lives, you know, you run into them and still maintain good relationships with a lot of those guys that I otherwise wouldn't have had an opportunity to be around and learn from. It was a cool experience.
Well, and that gap closes too. I mean, the 2-year gap when you're a freshman to junior or 3 years to senior, when you become adults, that's all closed, and you pretty much share the same memories and have the same fondness for the stuff that you guys did as teammates.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, and being in a place like Exeter, it was it's cool because you know the guys that did it in the late '90s. Experienced the same experiences that we did in the mid 2000s, and really that the guys that are playing there now are living, and that's, you know, with the continuity of playing for a guy like Coach Paul. He's obviously a legend. There aren't too many guys who have a stadium named after him when they're still coaching in it. I was really, really lucky to be able to have learned from him and maintain a relationship with him into my adult and professional career. He's the best. Incredibly indebted to him.
What are your memories of varsity football?
Just great teammates. You know, like I remember, and I tell my guys this all the time: the practices, the locker room time, the bus trips, the friendships that we were able to forge through that. You know, because you earn. It's football is the sport where you have the opportunity to earn the respect of everybody around you, because it's, you know, the only prerequisite really is effort and grit and toughness. So you go out there, and regardless of size or skill or whatever it is, if you can be a great teammate, if you can be tough, if you can get back up when you get hit, you have an opportunity to earn respect from people. And I was lucky enough to be in a senior class of 27. And I'm very, very proud of all those guys and who they've become as people. And it's always great catching up with them.
Is there an individual moment or a team moment that when you get a chance, you talk to people about, you tell people, or maybe you even reminisce with some of your teammates?
Yeah, I mean, most of them are quotes from Coach Ball. We always had he always had some good one-liners. Many of which I'm not even going to repeat, but when we get with the boys, there's always memories like that. But again, it's locker room stuff. You know, the stuff we accomplished on the field was great. You know, and obviously we go back to that, you know, our senior year, being able to close it out with a state championship on our home field was one of the coolest feelings, you know, you can ever accomplish. But really, the memories we go back to are those funny ones from Carbo nights and locker room jokes and, you know, just being around the guys. You know, that's really what it comes back to.
What did you do after high school?
After high school, I went down to Salve Regina University. And I actually, you know, that I was primarily a baseball guy going through high school. Arguably, if I was good at anything athletically, I was probably better at baseball. But I was a pretty hard worker and good teammate. And I had every intent on going down to Salve to play baseball. And when Coach Ball found out that I was going down there, he called me into his office and told me he had already talked to Chris Robertson, the head coach at that time, for football. And he was like, hey, Coach Rob said he's excited to have you down there. So then, you know, you don't really say no to Coach Ball. I was like, all right, I'll go down. And I had every intention of playing both, but getting around the football guys, and then kind of taking a step back and realizing, you know, having the perspective enough to say, you know, does it really matter what I accomplish athletically on this Division III field, or is it really about who I'm going to surround myself with for the next 4 years and for the rest of my life? What can I do to put myself in a position where I can do what I want to do professionally after this? And my buddies who I ended up being with on that football team were the ones I wanted to be around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I stuck with, and I ended up getting really lucky. Obviously, having Coach Robertson, he's at WPI now. I still have a great relationship with him. He was awesome, and he was a role model for us, and really took us under his wing. He was the defensive backs coach too, so I worked with him directly. But I love that guy. And then were lucky enough, spring of my senior year or my sophomore year, when he left, took the job at WPI. Coach Bob Chesney came in his first head coaching job. And if you're tapped into the world of college football, you know that he's probably one of the best coaches that's around, at any level. So I was really, really lucky to be able to work with him and learn from him and take some of his values and apply them to what we do in our program.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've named coaches who have obviously influenced you. What about either high school or college teammates that, you know, you look back with a real smile on your face when you think of a name or a play or something like that? Is there anything that comes to mind? And I guess in high school, because that's when it really starts to etch itself into your memory.
Yeah, in high school, there's a lot of them. Like I said, there were 27 in my senior class, and some of my best friends who I talk with every day. You know, we maintain a group chat with about 8 of us who are all football buddies, and we talk every day. Through the pandemic, we made an online league in Madden on our Xboxes just so we could stay in touch through that, and that league is still rolling. Although there's a lot of us now have family responsibilities and kids running around, and we end up simulating a lot more games than we did at the start of it. But it's been a great way to stay in touch. But those, you know, some of my guys, Corey D and Kez and Scotty Richards and Gobby and Monroe and all these guys who I'm closest with. But then, you know, there's others who, when we get in touch, when we see them, it's awesome to reconnect, and it's always like you never miss a beat, you know. Actually lost a teammate this past spring. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, losing him was terrible, because a lot of those funny stories that we talk about, the great memories, a lot of them center around that guy, Danny D. And so losing him was difficult, but getting together and seeing all the guys, who many of whom are living far away now, traveling back to remember him, that was a pretty special weekend, just to get back in touch with some of those guys, you know.
One of the things that Paul Ingram used to tell me about coaching football was that you teach so much about what you just said about the life experience, and I'm sure that over the course of your years now at Amesbury, some of the kids you had early on probably come back and said, "Coach, you know, you're right. These are my closest buddies, or I learned so much." And as a teacher, that's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, anytime you see that they're getting out of it what we were able to get out of it going through, and they look back fondly on it, you know, that really is what it's all about. Because if you're going to invest your time in anything, hopefully you can create some great memories from it. Hopefully you can get out of there with some good values, and I think football does that for a lot of people. And it certainly did that for me, but I love seeing that happen to our guys that we get to coach down in Amesbury.
Recap the connection between Exeter and Amesbury with respect to your athletic director, Glenn Gearin.
So Glenn is actually the cousin of my father. So to me, he's technically a second cousin by definition, but he's more like an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that he and my father kind of grew up like brothers. His mother and my grandmother were very, very close, and they were sisters, so they would all the time, those kids were always around the house together. And Glenn's actually the one who got me down there. You know, he was coaching there, and I was up at Sanborn Regional, where I'm still teaching. You know, I've been teaching there for 11 years now, and I was there for the first 3 of my football career as an assistant. And when I left there, Glenn talked me into coming down and running the defense for him. So we did that for a couple years, and I actually got to coach under him. He had coached at Methuen for a lot of years early in his career, and then kind of was in a spot where he didn't have any candidates, had to step up and be the head coach himself. So he did that for a few years. I helped him out, and then when he stepped down from that, I was able to put my name in, and was lucky enough to get that position and bring a couple of guys that were on staff along with me. That was really important, you know, getting their blessing and knowing that I was going to have some guys who I could trust be alongside me. And then obviously since since I've had that job, some, you know, it's been, you know, going into year seven now.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys have come and gone, but I've been incredibly lucky to see some of the guys kind of fall into my lap who have been guys around town who are willing to come out and give time and effort and be a part of the coaching staff and buy in fully to what we're trying to do. And I really told those guys that the only prerequisite for being a part of it is do they care about these kids? You know, and I've been really, really lucky to have some guys come to me who want to be a part of it, who care a whole lot about our kids and are willing to learn the schemes and the techniques and the things we want to teach. So that's been great.
What would you say your strengths are, Colin? And who did you, I mean, maybe how you put your coaching style together, because, you talked about some unbelievably fantastic coaches here that you learned from to play football. So how do you put this together in who you are?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about having a plan and making sure that all the ends are tied up. You know, like football is a sport where everything is so closely intertwined that if you don't have a program that's built upon a set of philosophies that are very much in line with each other, from offense to defense to special teams to, you know, locker room culture to the little thing, like how you walk to the bus and how you get on the bus and travel to games,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
What your demeanor is like, you know, and how you carry that demeanor into the classroom as well. All of that stuff has to be very carefully curated, and it has to mesh. And I've been very, very privileged to watch, I think, the best to ever do it in Coach Bill Ball. Play under him and learn from him, and then take some of those X's and O's and run with them and tweak things as we see fit, make it work in a program that is significantly smaller, but, you know, take a lot of those things and apply them to the way that we do them. And then obviously a lot of the X's and O's defensively are adaptations from some stuff that I was lucky enough to learn under Bob Chesney, who I think is one of the smartest X and O guys I've ever gotten to be around. But what I'd say about both of those guys that's definitely more important than the X's and O's is their care for their players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something like I was never a star player. And that's probably why I'm a halfway decent coach. I was able to observe a whole lot more than a lot of guys who had the ball in their hand all the time or were the guy making the tackle all the time. But I was really lucky to have been able to observe, you know, those guys. And as a kid who was, you know, if I wasn't there, would it have changed the outcome of most games? Maybe not. In the eyes of both of those guys, I felt like I was important. And I try to take that philosophy with me as well and make sure that every kid understands how important they are to the program. And if you do that, if you can build good relationships with players, they'll play hard for you, and if they play your scheme harder and better and with more understanding, you have a pretty good chance of beating people, because mm-hmm. everybody's got a scheme. You just got to do yours better. So when we take that stuff, you know, day by day, and we really focus on those relationships with our players, and our whole staff is the same way, we all believe in the same things, you can generally have some pretty good outcomes.
I was reading about Ray Bourque's, Patrice Bergeron's retirement, and one of the things that teammates and coaches and everything said about him is what you just said. He makes everybody feel important. Everybody is important to him, and I think as a leader, that's just one of the qualities you just have to have, because, you know, if you've got 40 players on the team from 1 through 40, everybody has a job to do. So that's outstanding. The other thing, too, that I love to hear you say was when you said it's important, you know, how we get on and off the buses, because I remember some baseball coaches who would teach their high school kids how to run onto the field and off the field, you know, between innings. And the little details, it seems insignificant, but they take pride in that, and it tends to you know, to put the glue around everything. Coach, I want to ask you about what's gotten easier for you as a coach. Go back to year one and where you are now. Because you've got a tremendous amount of experience now, and a lot of success. What's easier for you now than it was when you first started?
You know, there's always the challenges that coaches are presented with, and they're unique every year. You know, you get a different batch of kids, different life experiences come up. You're dealing with all sorts of things, but in general, I think the implementation of what we're trying to do has become infinitely more easy. For an example, I just had a coach who was with me, you know, in my early days at Sanborn, and then I was lucky enough to have him come with me at the start of my career at Amesbury, and he was like my Ernie Adams. Like, this guy, we'd get in the bunker together and break down statistical tendencies from teams, and we had a really good grasp on what the other teams were trying to do based on formation, and he was a genius in that regard. And then work took him away from us, because again, like, it's, we're playing small town high school football. The paycheck isn't gonna hold on to guys, and life comes up sometimes. So you end up having coaches come and go at times. But he's been gone for a while, and he's gonna make an effort to come back to us this year. And he popped into the weight room the other day to just meet some of the guys and observe what was happening. And he was with us when, you know, in year one back in 2017. And he called me after, and he was like, "I can't believe like what's happening in there. Like, the numbers, like the efficiency, the leadership." Because the thing is, we've been working at, you know, like I said at the beginning of this call, you got to have a plan. And when you have a plan that you feel is the right plan, and you can stick to it, and you keep doing the same things again and again and again, you're going to get better at them. And we have a very good understanding of how things go, you know, between whether it's the, you know, the senior led warm-ups and weight room stuff through the off season, or how we run our pre-practice routines, and really how we get through our entire practice plan. The plan is the exact same as it was in 2017. We tweak things as needed. We change drills as needed. Techniques have evolved a little bit. But for the most part, you know, when you look at the template, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
We're just doing it a lot better and a lot more efficiently now, because the kids understand it. And now we have examples of kids who have been in the program for 4 years and have lived it. And it's easier to take a young kid and say, "Hey, look at him. We need you to be like him by the time you're his age." And the example's there. So it's a little bit easier to mock and, you know, and follow the leader, so to speak.
Right, right. Well, that makes sense. I got a couple more questions for you, and then I'll let you go. I know how busy you are, but this is I know, but this is a blast. I love learning all this stuff. Bill Newell came up with a question I thought was really interesting with Jim Rudloff of Marblehead, and he asked Coach Rudloff, "Is there a game as a fan or as a coach that you watched, other than your own team, that has influenced you?" And Coach Rudloff came up with something about he was coaching, scouting a game, and he learned something at that game that he hadn't ever thought of. Is there anything like that, Colin? It doesn't have to be profound, but something that you, as a fan or as a coach, watching another football game that has influenced you?
It's really interesting. I don't know if necessarily, you know, because a lot of the things we do schematically are things that I've lived and experienced firsthand and been able to, you know, be in the meeting rooms and on the whiteboard. But there are things, and I don't think it's any game in particular, but I think there's two different perspectives that you get when you watch football. One, you see some schemes or some plays that you might be able to take and throw in there, right? So you see some different things, and my mind's constantly racing when I watch college football is my favorite, but you end up watching some college football games, particularly like those small conferences on weeknights. I love like the Wednesday night and Thursday night games, or even later in the season, you get like those Tuesday night games, like Sun Belt or the MAC or whatever. And when you watch some of those games happen, you can see a play unfold, and you can say, "All right, that's a concept that we can take and blend into what we do." Because that's really what football coaching is. You got to make it make sense to how you do things and fit it into your plan and your terminology, and really like the skills that your players are being taught all the time. So I enjoy that. And then the other piece of it is you see sometimes like weird things in terms of rules. I think that's a cool way. The more exposure you get, the more understanding you can find, because there are plays that sometimes would only happen once in a million snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And if you never see it experienced, you may not even understand what the rule is or how it's how it can be applied. But you pick up things like that, at times, and that can certainly be helpful.
All right. I know that coaching football, high school football, is a year-round job. And I, have you ever had a day off from thinking about football?
Nah, not really. I mean, there are days that pass. I mean, and I think it's important to be able to recharge and be interested in a lot of different things. Get your mind away from things. But it for me, oftentimes it comes back to football.
It's always there. Yeah.
Yep. I like reading quite a bit. And I'm right now, and I've talked to the guys about it because they think that I'm going to start doing things radically different because it's a book about Hal Mumme and Mike Leach and how they invented the air raid offense. And you know how we run the ball. It's just completely schematically, inverse of, mm-hmm. of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about Mike Leach, the Pirate, just passed away recently. He was an incredibly, inquisitive dude. Like he would get off on, tangents about history or about, he was big into like the history of piracy and things of that nature. And like Lewis and Clark and all kinds of stuff. And it's chronicled in this book. And it's blended very eloquently, I think, with the X's and O's and what they were able to develop. And I thought that was cool. So I try to keep myself fresh and get different perspectives and learn about things that are both football related and otherwise. And each season it starts anew in August. And if you can hit the reset button effectively enough, you can be extra hyped starting in August. And we're certainly feeling that as we get through it this year.
And to have the fire in the belly, Colin, no matter what your age is, that's just so important. Inside of us, I think, we who love sports, there's that little kid who's still there.
You're absolutely right.
All right, Coach, we're going to talk again in a few weeks, of course, when things get more ready to roll. But this has been fantastic. I know I took up a lot of your time, Colin, but, boy, was it worth it for me. So thanks so much. take a breather here if you can, and we'll talk to you later on.
I'll try. All right. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Colin. Take care. All right. That is Colin McQueen, who is the Amesbury High School football coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.